We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You can spell winning without an A and an S, unfortunately. And that's more hurtful than I intended it to be. But, yeah, the Spadoni text, that's on you. That's where, you know.
No.
Well, it's like when Steiny used to play pickup basketball and you had maybe a guy on your team who's not very good and it's a 3-on-2 break and you go for the whip a pass over to him and it goes right through his hands and it's like, that's on me. I should have known you couldn't handle that pass.
KYP.
You're insinuating I can't make bets, Dibs?
I'm insinuating that a reach out to an emotional A's fan in the midst of parenting going on some half-cocked theory about Manaea. It's not
That's
the way
true.
We go to BetQL, the BetQLnetwork.com, streaming
time,
live at a device near you. Yeah, BetQL Network would be my go-to.
Yeah, I was halfway through a dirty diaper when he texted me, so
thank you.
On me.
The truth comes out. Yeah.
Yeah, Benny. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Station, and that's all sponsored by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Giants down in San Diego, kind of the Padres' last stand. So we'll see. But I'll tell you what: you look at the way things are going to come down in the NL West. You got the Dodgers the last weekend of the season playing Milwaukee.
And Milwaukee be playing for anything though?
I mean, there is so. And JD and I got into this a little bit about, you know, at what point do you start thinking about your pitching rotation if you're the Giants? And are you going to have to win the last game of the regular season?
Right.
Or might not that matter? Or 2 days later, you're going to have to play that wild card game? Or what if you have to play a Monday playoff against the Dodgers, which is when that game would be played? So there's going to be a lot of strategy involved here. I think way more for the Giants, because the Dodgers just have four really good pitchers they can throw and might not have to tinker with much.
And I think if they stay on turn, and I'll have to do the recalculation again, but I think it's Buehler for the Dodgers, which you're more than fine going with Walker Buehler. And I think with the Dodgers, all four of those guys, you trust them so much that you just keep them all on term. You're not going to try to rush Scherzer into a spot or, you know, if it's Urias, then it's Urias. He's had an unbelievable year. And I think for the Giants, it lines up to be Alex Wood, which would be what you would want, I think.
Let me ask you this, Donnie, because it's Operation NL West, so you got to throw the kitchen sink at avoiding game 163, and I don't care who would start the first game of the playoff series, because you don't – okay, all right, so Dibs got
– yeah, it Donnie,
there's
Webb,
no
I'm
question
sorry.
It's Webb, right? Webb
well, I think it lines up to be Webb, so yeah, and I think it would be Webb, honestly.
But in your heart, Dibs, who's the best pitcher? It's Webb. Right now for the Giants.
What game are you talking about, Dibs? Webb's ready.
It would be the one game playoff, the 163.
On Monday.
Correct,
on Monday.
Yeah. Okay. I had it wrong. I said Wood and I meant Webb.
So it would be so he would be ready Monday or Tuesday if Tuesday became a wild card game, and if none of those games were played, he'd be fine for Friday, just the division series opener.
He's our best pitcher, man. Incredible.
Yeah, I think he's the guy you got to try. But, man, what if you have to win that last game on Sunday to avoid playing the Dodgers? Then do you push him up a day? Who's scheduled to – so Wood is scheduled to pitch the season finale that Sunday, Dibs?
I'm not sure if it would be Wood. And part of this, too, depends on Johnny Cueto, who could be in that weekend. So, you know, there's a lot of variables. I think you could try to set up the scenario if you could in advance. But you're right. It may come down to the last game where you have to win. If you lose and the Dodgers win, now you're in a tie or you're in a flat-footed tie going in. The beauty of this, the final 12, you both play Arizona. You're both 14-2 against Arizona. So who's going to get Arizona in the big series? It feels like you have to sweep Arizona, right? But it also feels like Arizona's going to win one of those six games. So maybe it comes down to who doesn't sweep the Snakes. And, you know, it's going to come down to that much of a razor margin because you're right, Goo. Milwaukee's got nothing to play for. They're going to be landlocked. So they're going to be looking at, okay, we're the two seed no matter what. Let's set up everything and not really, you know, grind for those games against L.A.
And but, Steiny,
well, just butt dibs. The Brewers, because they're landlocked, they can use their big three starters that last weekend because they're not playing until the next Friday. So they might, you know, they can – the Dodgers may get the Brewers' big three starters in that game so that they'll set up perfectly for the next weekend.
But only a light dusting, not a full rainstorm. You know, you're not going to throw 105, 110 pitches.
Yeah.
You're looking at maybe a 50-pitch, you know, extended bullpen kind of sesh and then turn it over to a collection of the arms. And, you know, you three are going to pitch today and then you three will pitch tomorrow. It'll be, you know, like a Little League game almost.
Right.
And the Giants, I was going to say, Steiny and Dibbs, they already got good luck because I think the Padres, 2-8 in their last 10, we saw the dust up. I think they've already quit, and they're only 2 over .500. By the time the Giants leave San Diego, they may be under .500. You talk about Bruce Bochy or any manager worth his salt. I think this Padre team needs it. But could you, who would have thought that these games, basically from a Padre standpoint, would mean nothing? Steiny, I think they've given up the white flag without even doing it.
We'll see. I mean, I think they may have one last gasp, but, you know,
four
just taking-
back. Yeah.
Well, four back, and if they take two of these three, that to me is the bare minimum if you're San Diego. You got to honestly be thinking, not that you need to sweep these, but you got some work to do. Then again, if Seattle, if St. Louis has won 9 in a row, and as you mentioned, Goo, they've won 9 of 10. So if they win 8 of their next 10, it doesn't matter. It's over anyway. But the Padres, this, it does feel like this is their last line in the sand, Goo. I think you're right.
Well, the other thing, Dibs, is if the Padres take 2 of 3 down in San Diego, that means they won 4 of their last 5 against the Giants. Mm. And that is something that we may look back on and say, you know what, the Padres kind of spoiled it. Don't forget the Padres, they won those last two games last week against the Giants to make that series
got hot,
a split.
Steiny. I thought that was a big two wins for them, and they just go start arguing.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think an argument in the clubhouse is going to make them raise the white flag. Like I'm not saying they've waived it already, but they're just, this is who they've been now for 3 months. I anticipate them finishing out the season at 6-6.
Yeah.
The Padres.
The other piece to this, Steiny, is Colorado, who has not waved the white flag, even though they're close to being eliminated. Their tragic number is 4 until they're officially out. But there's a team that's they're playing for each other too, Goo. And you know what? They've gotten better on the road. They got all the way up to 25-52 on the road, which at one point they were so dreadful. And as a home team, 45-27. And both these clubs, the Dodgers go there today, the Giants go there next. So Colorado still is gonna have a big say in all this.
Definitely.
Giants got fat last time they were in at Coors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did, and they'll go there one more time. The Giants end up with 3 at San Diego, 3 at Colorado, 3 at home against Arizona, and then 3 at home against the Padres, like Dibs was saying. Both the Dodgers and the Giants, 6 home, 6 away, and the Giants 1 game up. I mean, this is – I got to admit,
awesome.
it is pretty good because – the difference between winning the division and being a wild card, it's not quite as important as the NFL winning the division to get home field, but it's knocking on the door a little bit.
I agree. And also, I think it's the way that this is going with 97 wins against 96 wins. You know, the St. Louis-Cincinnati quote-unquote race isn't quite as compelling because they're both barely above 500. But the fact that these teams are probably both going to win 105 games. They both got 12 left. If they go 6-6, the Giants win 103, the Dodgers win 102. So you feel like, you know, an 8-4 is out there for both of these teams. And, you know, if the Dodgers go 9-3, the Giants go 8-4, they both win 105, and they meet in game 163. That's a Monday. Lofty spot to be in.
Yeah, that'd be a day or night game, Stoney, you know? That'd be a night game, huh? Yeah, I believe. Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. You got to Google it, I think.
Yeah, and I just looked, Stoney, the NL wild card game is Wednesday. The AL card is Tuesday. The NL is Wednesday. So even if they had to play game 163 on a Monday, they would have an off day before hosting the wild card game.
That's right. In fact, John Dickinson misspoke late last week.
I don't believe that.
Just for a brief second.
I cannot believe that.
He came right back around to correct
that's crazy.
It less than 30 seconds later. So he definitely caught himself.
I'll let the boss know.
He caught himself before anybody caught him, which is usually the case with our main man, JD. All right, coming up on the other side, Warriors, they start training camp next week, but I don't know that they got good news yesterday in terms of injuries. We'll talk about that on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
Didn't see Trey Lance's package at all.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Coming up in a half hour, Sam Monson. Sam Monson, 1148, lead analyst, Pro Football Focus. Always interested to see how guys grade it out. These guys watch every game, every play. They break it down. Sam's one of the best, so we'll get back to the 49ers at about 11:48. Guys, did you see the Warriors have issued a press release? This was yesterday, about James Wiseman and Klay Thompson. And here it is. James Wiseman, he's more than 5 months recovered from meniscus surgery, but he's not yet fully cleared for the unrestrained contact portions of practice. And he won't be ready until October 15th at the earliest. So October 15th would be when he, in theory, could come or would start to practice for the first time, full bore, and the Warriors season opener is just 4 days later. So Anthony Slater of The Athletic and 95.7 The Game suggesting that he's going to miss some early games. That's Wiseman. And as for Klay, he's going to do a little individual work also during training camp, but the timetable remains December, January. So they're going to start the season without two of their starters, essentially. And that's not good.
It shouldn't be unexpected. I mean, this is where you thought it would be. You hoped Wiseman could be ready by the opener, but if his first practice is 4 days before, that feels to me like probably two more weeks at least until he's able to really be up to speed. Because you know the rhythm of the season. You don't get a lot of practice time. Once the opener happens, it's game, day off, game, travel day, maybe extra day where you can sneak into practice. So there aren't that many opportunities for him to get that 5-on-5 that he'll need. So that's disappointing. The Klay Thompson, you know, just that's kind of, I think, Goo, what everybody was saying would be the timetable. I was hoping it'd be earlier, and this kind of officially puts that wet blanket on it. But you mentioned it before. I mean, the guy's been hurt twice now, two majors, so take all the time you need.
No doubt, but.
Oh, who is that? That's a great. I was going to shoot. Take all the. Is it Little Feet? No, it's Neville Brothers.
I thought something happened, Stein.
Oh, no, you know what? It's Taj Mahal. Taj Mahal. Take all the time you need. I'm sorry.
Kyle giving you a zero, I believe. I don't know what it was. I'm glad you're okay. But, Dibs, You talked about being Humpty Dumpty, you know, going through every injury, you know, that's possible. And I remember the conversation like it was yesterday when Wiseman initially got hurt. We were hoping there was no surgery. Then we said, okay, no summer league, but he'll get the preseason. And now, guys, I'm not being negative, Nancy. You just wonder with this news, with no preseason, him coming back possibly four games before the opener, you know, what can he really get out of this season, Steiny, and when does he get that strength, Dibs, that we talked about him working on, you know, to be the best he can in year two, which now seems like it's just going to be an extension of year one? Well, or is sources, that me being negative?
I think you're being a little bit negative, but then again, you got to see it. And, you know, sources say that he does look bigger, he does look stronger, and, you know, at the very least, if he's a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, we know that he's older and he's more grown up, having now spent a whole year in the NBA cycle. The word is that he's a really smart guy and he's a hard worker. So all those signs to me point in the right direction. Now, can he go on the court and prove it right away? Probably not, but by April. And for me, this Golden State Warrior team is more about April than it is October. You know, right. Obviously you have to do well in October through the other months to make April matter. I think they will, but when Clay is 4 months back and Wiseman has, you know, 50 more games under his belt, let's say, and we know what we have with the various Iguodalas and Draymonds and all that, that to me is when this gets interesting.
Yeah, I agree, Dibs. The thing that I'd be a little worried about if I were a Warrior fan is
give it to me.
The first 2 months of the season. I mean, is it possible you dig yourselves a hole and then you gotta fight your way out of it to get to the 7 or 6 seed? I mean, if we just are objective here, they're gonna have Steph, Draymond, and Wiggins to start the year, but then they're also gonna have Moody and Kuminga. Iguodala. Iggy. Bielitsa and Porter, that's not a very good team, I don't think.
Well, and you mentioned
that's not
a
very good team.
Yeah, you kind of snuck a guy in there who they may not have, Andrew Wiggins. Uh-oh. We don't know what his vaccination status is. He's come on the record saying he didn't want to get the vaccine. And, you know, based on HIPAA laws and restrictions therein, you know, he doesn't have to tell anybody anything about his status. However, the edict now that you have to be vaccinated to be in the building and work in that city, we're going to find out pretty soon what the deal is. And I'm not trying to be, you know, some COVID-19 like witch hunt, but these are the rules. And if he can't play because he hasn't gone through the vaccination, or at least started it, I think, then
that
you may not have three starters, Steiny.
Man, I didn't even think
he just knocked me out of my chair. Me too, Steiny. Wow.
Well, it's not like he's LeBron James. Let's not get crazy here, but
well, and also it's not like this is breaking news.
You're light. Yeah, you're light already. You need that 17 to 18 points in that defense. So
absolutely.
I'm gonna say this, Steiny. I think Ben Simmons really is not coming here because you got the question marks of Klay Thompson and James Wiseman. Do you really want to gut your team and add another question mark to see if this guy would fit? So to me, that's why I think the Warriors is unrealistic. But this hasn't been covered, and I do know a guy that just got vaccinated, and I was hesitant early on. I wonder how much Wiggins is thinking about this, Donnie, to the point to where could you imagine – you know, the laws are what they are. If, you know, he doesn't get the shot, he wouldn't be able to play home games. That's incredible.
Yeah, I'm going to cross that bridge when we get to it. I'm going to assume at this point Wiggins is going to be available. And, you know, you threw Ben Simmons in there. You know, that's the thing. I mean, you said, you know, I don't think you gut your team to get Ben Simmons. I don't think you have to gut your team anymore. I think there's a deal out there to be made for Ben Simmons if you're the Warriors. I don't know exactly what it is. You know, I'm on record. I would love to see Ben Simmons get to the Warriors because I think he's still got a ton to offer. But I don't know. I just I know that if they head into the season, you know, without Clay and without Wiseman, they are going to need to – I mean, they're going to have to stay steady that first month or two. And, you know, what I'm wondering is a guy like Andre Iguodala, who doesn't usually like to show up till the spring. I mean, will he, you know, they may need him. You know, they may need him to win some games early. And so this is a team that in their stretch
50
drive
wins.
Yeah, well, I think that's high. I think that's high.
I may have been when I like made Bellinger. It. Well, I don't smoke, but yeah, that was a joke.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors just have never had. They haven't. When's the last time that they've needed to play kind of a full season, and not ease into things? So they may have to take the first couple months seriously.
Last year they had to do that.
I was
that.
Just gonna say,
you know, last year was a year where they had to take the whole thing seriously. Imagine if Steph Curry had an ordinary Steph Curry year. I don't know if there is such a thing anymore. The guy is adapted to the new pace and tempo unbelievably well. I don't know if he has that until he really starts to regress. But what if he only averages, you know, 28 last year instead of leading the league? Well, you probably aren't in the same play-in spot, quite frankly. So I felt like last year they did have to grind a lot. And that kind of gave me goosebumps, Steiny, when you mentioned Need and Iguodala, because he can't give you more than 15 minutes a night, and that's just based on what he did in Miami.
Yeah, there is an aspect of this upcoming year that I am curious to see, and that is if the officials are going to enforce the non-leaning in from the three-point shooter. That's supposed to be a point of emphasis. And I got to tell you, I mean, if they're allowing more contact beyond the three-point line and they're not allowing lean in, and that is going to have an effect on the entire league. And dare I say it may impact the Warriors more than other teams because they're one of the teams that benefits a lot from it. I think Atlanta does. I think Brooklyn does with Harden. But if you can guard him a little closer out on the floor, it closes the space. I mean, you can't touch these guys in the last 5 years, not touch them.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if we'd see a subtle decrease in three-point shooting percentage in the league if they enforce it.
Depending on how players adjust, Goo.
They better.
Yeah. Well, and it's the whole flail, the flail and draw, I think, that not being called and that now maybe even being an offensive foul is going to change the way of it. But I think, Goo, they'll also start to call that hey, you drifted under him foul more than ever before to kind of make up for the fact that players can't. Because players would argue, I flail in order to create space below me after the shot. You know, that's the argument.
And then when you get the non-shooter Steiny trying to do it, that's when I really just want to throw up. Like, dude, you ain't even a ball. Come on. And they get rewarded. I'll say this. Bob Fitzgerald, I haven't forgot his last appearance on the show. We talked so much about Trey Lance and him being a rookie. Was he going to see the field? And we did that for about a good 6 weeks. What you just said, Steiny, to me, Bob said, don't expect Kuminga. Not at all, but kind of like he could be in Santa Cruz. And I'm looking at this Warrior team now with what we just – this news, like Moody and Kuminga got to be a part early on, right? They have to.
No. I mean, what
to
if –
to get the chance to, what is what I'm saying, though.
They're not ready. What if they're not
you
ready?
You don't have the bodies. Then you're going to not even
sure
have bodies.
Do. Yeah, they got 10 guys without those guys. I mean, I'm just – again, he – but kind of here we go. If Kuminga and Moody don't play right away, to me the Warriors are again trying to thread the needle. They got three young players. They want to play and they think they have to play. Okay. Well, guess what? That doesn't jibe. And yes, I said jibe, J-I-B-E.
I heard.
With trying to win a title right away, there's an incongruity there that I think people gotta come to terms with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Steiny, but there is a thing called all NBA first team, second team for a reason. When do you look at Moody and Kuminga and decide that you wouldn't see, they wouldn't get the benefit of the doubt to let's go see what you got and how far you are? Because that ain't going to manifest in training camp or preseason. Like, Steiny, they got drafted so high, Dibs. Like, they got to get it. We got to see him play.
You'll see him play in camp and in practice and then probably in Santa Cruz, because it's the same thing with Trey Lance. There's a leap that you have to make, especially as a teenager. And you're talking about young guys. Eric Paschal comes in as a grown man. I think he played 6 years in college. He got a doctorate, too, probably.
He's not a warrior. Just think about that. Go ahead, dude.
No, but just as an example of a guy who was able to come in and play right away, and he played as well as he's going to play. Kuminga and Moody have more upside, but right now I don't think that they have the wherewithal. It's like when you see a kid come into the 24-hour. It's like some 16-year-old kid who's, I'm going to go out for varsity this year. It's like, you can't play against us grown men, even though he's better than all of you and will be soon. Right now, they're just not ready to go in there. And I mean, maybe they are.
I hope you're wrong, guys.
Well, I think it's going to be a process of graduation to where, you give them a look and maybe one of them goes down to Santa Cruz and gets full burn. Then you bring them back up. You have them in a situation where you can shuttle them back and forth as needed, but you brought in Iguodala for a reason. You need some grown-ups to play alongside Steph and Draymond in particular.
And this is, this is the part where it's like, goo, wake up. Wake up and smell the coffee. By the way, my Zoom's going to go off, but I should be fine. Kuminga, there's a difference between guys who have played college and can come into the league and contribute. But this is like Trey Lance, who didn't even play Division I football, who only played one game. James Wiseman played 3 games in college. He got hurt his rookie year. Kuminga never even went to college. He played in the G League. He's younger than 20 years old. Moody played 1 year. He played 1 year at Arkansas. He's not 20 years old. But you really think you want to go deep into the playoffs in the Western Conference with not just three young players, but three players that are ultra young because they haven't had any like legitimate competition against peers. So don't think these guys are going to come out of the gates hot or averaging 15 a game. It's not fair.
I'm not saying you're wrong, and the 15, I'm not asking for that. But, guys, why I'm overwhelmed is it's been 2 years since the Warriors have made the playoffs. I don't think they got it like that to make draft picks to where you're going to put up on the shelf. I feel like you got to let them go through the bumps, and the team will go through those bumps. By the time, Clay, you guys talk about April comes back, they're going to be better, even if they look real raw. I'm not saying start them, but the Warriors, to me, guys, are the last team that could say, oh, we got it like that. We got this depth to where we're not counting on those two dudes. And physically, Dibs, Kuminga looks the part. And I'm not saying go out and be rookie of the year, but I'm looking at this Warrior team. I got Moody and Kuminga as contributors.
Yeah, there's levels to this, though. And when you look at who this team thinks it's going to be, they think they're going to be a real playoff contender. And so when you're a playoff contender, you don't really mess around with charity minutes. Now, if you're a team like Minnesota and you got a rookie, it's like, yeah, we know we're not really going anywhere, so we're going to play you. We're going to play your way into relevance. And I look at Trey Lance in the same way. If he was on a bum team, if he was on Detroit, for example, he would be starting. And it would be, good luck, kid. Have at it. And that's what you saw from Zach Wilson this weekend, where the guy, he had a scuffle, but the Jets aren't going anywhere, so you're going to let him play his way through it. And I think about the Giants and Marco Luciano and what he's done at low A. And it had me thinking, guys, which of these young Bay Area stars becomes an all-star first? Is it Luciano of the Giants, who, by the way, had 19 homers and 71 runs batted in single A this year? Is it Trey Lance, the quarterback in waiting? Or is it Kuminga or Moody? Who do you think, guys?
Trey Lance, Steiny.
I'll say Trey Lance, too, because I can see a year. I can see him being a factor in a year, maybe. Factor in a year. But Dibs, that's kind of what I'm talking about. The 49ers and the Warriors are essentially in the same boat. The 49ers think they're a deep playoff team. Well, guess what? If you think you're a deep playoff team, Trey Lance ain't playing. He ain't playing a lot. He can't play a lot.
Right.
If the Warriors think they're going deep into the playoffs, but they're going to be counting on Wiseman, Moody, and Kuminga to be in their top eight, they ain't going on a long run deep into the playoffs. Unless these guys are just world beaters, and I think that's too much to ask. I mean, why didn't Trey Lance play on Sunday, do you think?
Go ahead. I was just going to say the example you just cited, Steiny, was a bit different from a Niner standpoint because 2 years ago, Jimmy Garoppolo did show you that he could lead the team to the Super Bowl. So as much as we want to say Trey is not ready, the coaching staff must have felt Trey wasn't the best option, which to Dibbs' point about Detroit, if he was in there, he'd be playing. So I'm not going to say Trey is not all the way ready. It's just the fact that I think they liked what was behind door number 10, and that being Jimmy and what they know when he's healthy, Dibbs, he could take us to the Super Bowl.
And I think Lowe made a great point yesterday when he talked about the flow of the offense. If the offense is rolling, it's easy to put Trey Lance in there and have him run a couple of plays because you know you're going to get the protection and you know you're going to get your players to the spots where they need to be, and then it just comes down to pitch and catch if it's a pass game or it comes down to hitting the hole if it's a run play. And I don't think you had that comfort at all against Philadelphia. You were a little bit on your heels offensively. You didn't establish the run, so there was no play-action possibility. So if you put Trey Lance in there, Philadelphia pretty much knew it was going to be a QB run. You didn't want to have Trey Lance throw it down the field. You weren't going to throw it down the field. So if your plan was 3 yards and a cloud of punt and dink and dunk football, well, that's Jimmy G's strength. So that, to me, is why they didn't play Trey Lance. Now, Green Bay, a game that feels a little bit more like it might be wide open, more of a higher-scoring game, at home, you're going to see Trey Lance. And I can't wait to see where Kyle puts the line on Kyle's mad props because, you know, at home, the home opener with a bunch of number five jerseys in the crowd, there's going to be a clamor for Lance in this third game.
You don't think it's over, huh? Snotty, I thought because we didn't see him that we'll never see him again. But Diz feels like, we'll see him.
That game was too tight to play in.
Absolutely.
That game was absolutely – it was a one-score game the whole first half. And even when it got to 14-3, it was a tight 14-3. He's going to play in games where I think the possessions – you know, I like the Lions.
But when he threw that touchdown, Steiny, the game was still in balance. It wasn't 50-0 when he threw Trey. So that was, you know, the game was not decided.
Yeah,
so
but you were sound like you,
early
you were in control.
Possible.
Okay.
And you were definitely in command of that game. Like most of the plays, even plays you didn't make, the play was there and the things were going your way. Against Philadelphia, it was uncomfortable. They were jamming up a lot of those holes, and that was a tough roll up your sleeves kind of game. It's like when you teach your kid to drive, Steiny, and then you get in a certain spot, it's like, pull over, I'll take it from here. You know, whether it's that stop-and-go traffic or maybe it's, you know, in a tight city spot. It's like, you're driving good, kid, but give me the keys, Junior.
Hey, can we put the rat on the table?
Let's go.
Because I'm sick of this. How dumb are we, really? Okay? If you think you're a contender to go deep into the playoffs and win a title, you're not going to play the young guys, all right? I'm looking at the 49ers. I'm looking at the San Francisco 49ers. Trey Lance, he's not playing, even though he was the third pick. Aaron Banks, who the hell's he? He hasn't even played yet, their second-round pick. Trey Sermon, he was deactivated the first week of the season. He was no factor. Ambry Thomas, who? I mean, you can even go back to last year, Ayuk, a first-round pick, and now is having a little more trouble getting on the field. Why? Because they have deep playoff aspirations and young players don't fit into that kind of goal for a team. So forget Kuminga and Moody and Wiseman if you think you want the Warriors to go to the Western Conference Finals. It ain't happening. And I'm not going to stand for it anymore, quite frankly.
I think you got three of them with the Warriors. One of them is going to have to play and contribute because I'm with Goo. Your depth pieces, you got bodies,
man.
But You got more nobodies than somebodies.
That's great. That's great.
All right, well, hold on to that thought. Hold on to that thought, Goo, because we'll come back to that in a second. But coming up on the other side, Sam Monson, lead analyst, Pro Football Focus. We do this every Tuesday at 11:48, and we'll find out how the San Francisco 49ers did on his grade sheet. It's all sponsored by Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email, compromise, and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast.com. That's Mimecast.com.
I'm frightened that I agree with Guru all the time.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, let's get right into it. We do this every Tuesday at 11:48, where we welcome in Sam Monson, lead analyst at Pro Football Focus. Sam, thanks as always for joining us. Really looking forward to this chat. And let me ask you this. After you looked at the 49ers game again, did any of your opinions change from you watching it maybe the first time?
I don't think anything really changed. I think it's definitely an interesting offense. I think it is a productive offense, even if they didn't get a ton of points against Philadelphia. But I think we're seeing a team that has the talent to still put together a run and be competitive in arguably the hardest division in all of football.
You mentioned put together a run, and I think that's pun intended because of the way they approached it. 31% of the time with two running backs and one tight end, 17% with two running backs and two tight ends. Is that a sustainable model for them to go big that often?
I think it is, but it's not necessarily the most efficient way of playing the game in today's NFL. There aren't that many teams that are doing that, but the ones that do are sort of committing to it as a lifestyle choice, as a system of offense they want to run, because most defenses are not really set up to combat it. Today's NFL defenses have been getting smaller and faster and lighter and more focused on sub-packages, nickel and dime defenses with all the defensive backs you can put on the field, and they are not really equipped to deal with all of these big players in the run game or even guys that that they will want to match up with in the run game and can then be exploited as underneath weapons in the passing game, which I think is what some of these teams are kind of focusing on. And that's why guys like Kyle Juszczyk are really important, because if you're an opposing defense, you're going to treat him as a significant blocker in the run game, but he's a dynamic receiver. He's a dynamic weapon that can exploit a mismatch if you try and match up with him using a big linebacker or something like that.
Sam, I was telling the fellas, I know it's only two games, but I noticed Jimmy using his legs more, not to be Michael Vick and take off and running, but to keep the play alive and still throw the ball, but stepping up in the pocket. Is that just me, or have you noticed that?
No, I think generally Jimmy Garoppolo is showing this season that he isn't a bad quarterback. You know, the reason the 49ers, I think, were so focused on trying to upgrade was one because of opportunity. You know, the way that the season unfolded last year, it kind of propelled them to an artificially high draft spot that gave them a shot at quarterbacks that they wouldn't normally get in a regular season. So one, they just had this rare opportunity to do that. And B, or number two, his injury history is scary. And even if you were 100% convinced that Jimmy Garoppolo was an all-pro Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, the number of games he's missed and the number of injuries he sustained over the past couple of years would have you thinking about a succession plan or a backup option or something like that heading into this season. I don't think it's an indictment of his play. I think his level of play overall, certainly within this Kyle Shanahan offense, on a proven basis to already take a team to the Super Bowl. And he's sort of showing these first couple of weeks that, you know, this team was productive with Nick Mullins at quarterback. It's good with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. He can do a lot of impressive things with the ball in his hands. And he's also a capable athlete. He isn't just a statue back there. He's capable of taking off and making plays on the ground and doing some things and adding a little bit in that regard as well.
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, joining us. He's their lead analyst. How do you assess the running back position for the 49ers, Sam? Because obviously Kyle Shanahan believes in a number of running backs. He's going to play more than one running back, and he's going to spread it around. At the same time, they've lost now Mostert, Hasty's out, Sermon, their third round pick is out. So, is there a way to assess whether these other running backs are not as effective as Mostert, or is that kind of asking too much from what you do?
Well, certainly at the moment, it's been a long time since we've seen a running back within the system just not be affected by injuries and opportunity and those kinds of things. I'm not even sure that in an ideal world, Shanahan does favor multiple running backs and a committee approach and rotating guys around. I think he might actually like to have a guy that he could rely on being 100% healthy every single game and the perfect running back for his system and just ride that guy as far as he will take them. But he doesn't seem to ever get that luxury. And, you know, they've made some questionable moves in terms of targeting running backs and bringing in specific guys for this system. And they almost always seem to get injured and get kind of wally-pipped by another guy who comes in and produces really well. But the fact that they're able to get incredibly good production out of seemingly any running back should be, I think, an endorsement of the system, but also an indictment against throwing a lot of resources at that position. They're able to plug in these guys a lot like, you know, those old Mike Shanahan systems with Denver years ago and just get production. This conveyor belt or this production line of 1,000-yard running backs with Denver who they would just move on from and cycle through, I think this 49ers team could do exactly the same thing.
Yeah, maybe Olandis Gary is available for a phone call. One of those many Denver backs. Looking at the interior line, how do you think they graded out? It looked like there were a lot of plays that they struggled with against Philadelphia.
Yeah, and Philadelphia does have an extremely good defensive line, which is not going to help matters. They didn't have a great performance necessarily, but I think that interior overall and over the season so far in two games has done a pretty good job. Alex Mack, I think, was really impressive in week one. And then the question for him is going to be, does that kind of come back down to earth over the course of the season? He's coming off what wasn't a good season for him a year ago. And given his age, you just wonder how much he's got left in the tank. But he's got veteran ability, and he's got the knowledge of how to execute the blocking schemes up front and make sure the entire offensive line is on the same page. So I think San Francisco's interior, it will be fine. It's not necessarily a strength of this team and an area where you look at and think that they will dominate week in, week out. But Philadelphia is as tough as it gets in terms of the interior defensive lines, and they held up okay, I thought.
Sam, I know the Niners are not the Kansas City Chiefs, and, you know, Travis Kelce is not George Kittle. And I was telling the guys, I think Kittle can do exactly in the receiving game what Kelce can. But with that said, he had four targets for 17 yards. Is this just a byproduct of the Kyle Shanahan offense? Or if people are out there wanting that 100-yard, maybe 8 or 9 catch day from Kittle, is that realistic in your estimation?
I think it can be. I mean, we've seen in the past that Kittle can get used heavily, and at times he has been their primary target. He's been their number one receiver. He's got a game in his best season where he had 17 targets. He had another one earlier in that season where he had 10. It's typically not going to be a high volume thing towards Kittle, but if he's getting a favorable matchup and if he's dominating, he can get massive totals. I think what we're seeing is an indication that for the first time in Kittle's time here, the 49ers have a lot more weapons than that, and they don't need to lean on Kittle as much as they did when he was racking up, you know, 1,000-plus yards in a season and all that production and the highest PFF grades we've seen. So if you're looking for those double-digit target games for Kittle, it's probably not happening this year unless they do suffer injuries to guys like Debo and they have to pivot where they're going with the ball.
Sam, real quick before I let you go, who were the best graded 49ers and the worst graded 49ers in week two?
The best graded guys and the worst graded guys in week two. I think Trent Williams is definitely one of them. He's been absolutely crushing it at left tackle. He's one of the best left tackles in all of football, period. And then, let me see, who would be one of the worst ones over the course of week two? Their linebackers have been struggling. I think in particular, Azeez Al-Shaair, that wasn't a particularly good performance this week. That's an area without Fred Warner, outside of Fred Warner, rather, that they have some concerns in.
Sam, thank you so much as always. Really appreciate it, man.
Anytime, guys. Take it easy.
All right, Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus lead analyst. Trent Williams. I saw some somebody put together some video of Trent Williams from week two. He does have a lot of plays where he just basically uses the guy on the other side of the line of scrimmage like a bar of soap, essentially.
He's massive, and he's nimble, he's agile.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.